The dream. It was clearer than a memory.
Okay, you know what we should have done? We should have had George R. Martin use one of our microphones.
Oh, yeah.
And we should have used the rented microphone. Mm-hmm. So that next time one of us sat down in front of our microphone,
we could taste them. Let's start it out like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, George.
You miss us?
didn't mean to if you feel like that. Unless you wanted to.
Then you know how to find me.
You already know. You already know. Like Hannah was saying, the last time that we used these microphones, we were talking to George R. Martin. So I can taste the old me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do that right now, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I mean, last time we were sitting down to record, we were at the John Cocteau Theater. It was the coolest setting to be able to sit down. Did we mention that when we were on the show with him? I don't remember.
At one point, we talked about the fact that he owned a movie theater and we're inside of it.
Okay. Then maybe we talked about it. But it was really neat to sit in that theater and sit down, and we were all kind of facing each other.
The chairs at the John Cocteau Theater fit a Baja Blast energy perfectly. And I would say most 12 to 20 ounce beverages as well. But yeah, very comfortable. They just recently remodeled and updated that place. And if you have been to our Twitter account or our Instagram, you'll see a photo that was taken by one of George's minions, Sid, whenever we were just sitting down to record. We were like plugging in the laptop and everything. And you'll see that we had the chairs sitting on the floor. We wanted to be facing each other instead of on a stage, sort of like presenting to a crowd of ghosts, like a panel
that
at a con
so weird.
Or something.
Yeah.
And I had an amazing time.
It was pretty surreal.
Yeah.
And I think that the coolest thing about that whole experience is we had the opportunity to spend time with him over the course of the couple of days that we were there. And we had the opportunity to have so many conversations with him.
Mm.
So by the time we sat down to record the podcast, it just felt like a continuation of these same conversations we were lucky enough to have in the days leading up and the days after. And so I don't know what, I mean, everybody, I assume you listen to the episode, so it's kind of hard to like talk about it, but you never know what it's going to be like talking to somebody
at all.
Know what it's going to be like to talk to somebody that you look up to so much and that you spend so much time thinking about. And George himself just exceeded my expectations on every level of being kind and funny and interesting and engaging and
good to hang out with.
He was a fun hang. And I was worried about what that was going to be like because, you know, you meet a lot of different people and he is, like I said, I have high expectations for him and he far exceeded all that. I had an unbelievable time just like spending time with him. And so I was really grateful that we got that on top of having the opportunity to have that conversation with him, just to know who he was as a person and to know how cool he is really neat.
Yeah, it really helps whenever you're trying to talk about something that's important if you are comfortable with the people, because you can kind of cut right to the chase. And that was definitely the energy of really the whole week there, because we had that we had an opportunity to go to Santa Fe before and to meet him. And it was just strange doing like the normal podcast setup that we just did right now
in my closet
to get all to get all the gear set up, and he was just sitting there with us,
just
sitting there unplugging in cables and stuff. I'm like, hey, you want to use these headphones? He's like, nah, okay,
yeah,
don't need to use them.
It was amazing.
It was exactly like it was. To anyone who's listening, who's been a guest on our show before, or you're listening, you've heard other people that you might know who have come on the podcast. It was exactly the same as anytime anyone comes on the podcast. Exactly the same. We wanted it to be that way, and we were able to do that. It wasn't weird. And yeah, that was it. I mean, the content of the episode, I think you should probably just listen to it. We were going to just open up this episode talking about that, the last episode that we just did, obviously, with the author of the God of the World.
That
is
what
the entire podcast that we're that this is. It has been for over a decade of or a decade rather. Is completely made up of, and I can't really go over any of the details, I guess, because there's so much. It's a long conversation. What I will say is that I didn't expect it to go as deep into some directions as it did. We've talked about some things off mic, but he has to be really careful about the way that he talks about a story, because so much about great storytelling, I believe, is that people don't really know what's coming and they get to feel that feeling. It's like how folks say they wish they could rewatch GOT, for example, from the beginning again and feel those feelings again, like what I would pay to experience that thing again for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to get delivered that information in a way that is less set up and artistic, like the real flourish, the whole reason that we enjoy this world and the process of combing through this world in the first place. But like I said, getting a little bit of that stuff, I was so shocked by, like some details about Hot D that we don't know yet. And I know that we know the meat of the story, but we'll talk about it some together today. So much of what is so interesting about House of the Dragon to diehard fans like all of us is to see how the art form of film and the medium of television, where it currently is in our human existence and the way that we have sort of used it as a large commodity to spread explosions and sexy stuff and pleasing little arcs and little like sequences like Sam cleaning up the bowls of shit at the Citadel. We've like used these interesting things that are pleasing to our monkey brains to make money for some people and to give other people really cool jobs or really nice, comfortable existences in a town like Santa Fe. And to see how the artists that they've chose to do that adapt and carry out that piece of art that we were originally talking about, that story that reveals itself over a very specific stretch of time in a very specific way. So we're not like, what will happen with the Dance of the Dragons? That's right. Not where we are, but where we are is how are they going to do it? Mm-hmm. And also what's one thing that's so unique about Fire and Blood is that it is not a novel. It is a history book or a fake history book. So there's so much connective tissue and actual details that we have in our heads and that is hinted at that we're going to be able to see get played out in front of us. And so, I don't know. It's just a situation that we haven't been in before. Kind of like whenever we were talking to George on the episode about someone adapting his story beyond the point where the actual work has been done to have been writing on it. That's sort of a version of getting told the thing without it being done in such of an artistic way where it makes its full true impact. And that right. was kind of what I was trying to get at with that question that I asked him. And I think that it's like Hot D is uniquely a fake history book being adapted. That situation with George was unique. So right. we just have a lot of firsts. And that's right. one thing that I've really thought has been happening. After about halfway through Game of Thrones, I was like, this is not just a cool fantasy television show or an adaptation like Lord of the Rings that had been out for decades. That it was just like, all right, now it's time to show everyone this in a really artistic way. But rather, this is a living, interesting product, artistic, like early product of human industry, of art industry, where we've commodified it in such a way, kind of like how old monarchs would commission works of music or paintings, for example, or architecture, or using those same artists to create weapons of war, for example. The most interesting way people in power can use interesting art to make money or to gain dominance over other people, we're at an interesting point in that process where there's a living author that's kind of like a Tolkien right now that's making stuff for a big company and playing his own game at the same time. And it's all so unique. And we rewatched the trailer and like clips. We watched the Comic-Con panel and stuff like that today before recording. And it just like rewatching all that stuff, seeing all of it play out the way that it's being presented right now, it just reaffirms how I feel, how this is a really interesting time and a really interesting for it to be done through this franchise,
right?
With the author still alive. And also one of the biggest impressions I got from hanging out with George is that out of all the people working in TV today, with the amount of experience that he has over decades of being involved in it and his interest and true love of all of this stuff, that he's probably one of the most intelligent and powerful people in that industry itself. So to see it, it's just all sort of coming together in a really interesting and almost perfect way. Obviously, it can't be perfect, but it's such a big franchise with such smart people working on it. And the stakes are so high, like I said, because this is like a first time. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we are waiting for Wins.
Right. And we already finished the entire season of Game of Thrones. So this, I think it's, like you said, it's a lot of firsts, but there's also a lot of precedent and weight behind it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's why it's even more unique.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, here, try this. It's like it has evidence to support the fact that it should be like this.
I hope that it's good because, you know, through, okay, this most recent trailer, through the Comic-Con panel, there's been a ton of, for lack of a better word, like buzz in the air over the last couple of weeks about House of the Dragon. I mean, we're about 4 weeks away, 3.5 at this point, weeks out from the premiere. And so obviously the buildup is getting real. But I just hope that that weight is, I don't want to say worthy, but what I worry about is that we are supposed to be really buying into this thing, and there's a lot of fanfare around this show and this book and this idea, but we haven't seen it yet. And like you said, this is based off of a history book, and so we have the major points, plot points along the way, but a lot of these characters' personalities are going to really come to life in the TV show. As kind of George was saying in our interview about Viserys and how he became this really interesting guy on screen where he was a little bit dismissed in the book. And so I guess all I'm trying to say is there seems to be a lot of like pre-propped up fanfare about we're supposed to be obsessed with these characters and we're supposed to be, you know, crazy about which side we've picked and
well,
all that kind of thing.
People don't know that yet, though, you know, right?
But that's how they talk about it. Like, that's how they were talking about it on the panel at Comic-Con.
Right, you're right.
And I'm a little, you know, whatever. I was like rolling
like
my eyes. I was like, come on. Yeah. There's so much more depth to what is happening. And I think my only fear as, and then I'll talk about all the things that I'm psyched about because that list is much longer. I just don't want us to be like force-fed the fandom of this show. And I also don't want...
Tweet what is yours.
The show. Like, that's what I'm saying. And I also don't want the show to be diminished to like one or two conflicts. Like for the show to be only be about like these two women fighting, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so... we've been really excited about House of the Dragon, and we've been really loving Fire and Blood on the show. And I'm going to be a fan. I know it. But I just, over these last couple of days, as we've had like a lot of the pre-show hype actually start to be produced and put out by HBO, it just has this like little thing in the back of my mind that's like, this is a successor show. There's like a lot of... they have big shoes to fill, and they're trying really, 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 really hard to fill them. And so I just hope that we're not force-fed what we're supposed to like, and that we can instead discover all these new characters and personalities and storylines that are ripe for the taking. I hope we can discover those on our own instead of being told what to like and what not to like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I more than at any point leading up to the show, I feel now more confident than I ever have because of how good the trailer looks.
The trailer does look very good.
It was one of the best trailers I've seen for a TV show, and I think it was probably better, hands down, than any of the Game of Thrones trailers. It was a really good setup, I thought, and just from the tendrils that revealed itself, I feel like the image, the picture of what they're going to do in Hot D is more clear to me than it ever has been before. And so any kind of fear that they've hired people, not Ryan and Miguel or any of the other executive producers or George that are working closely on it on that side of things, but like whoever's at HBO, you know, for example, or Warner Brothers that cares about it so much that might put their fingers on it, that, like I said, I've been not completely... I'm not going to just say it's going to be the best thing ever. I mean, it's scary whenever people remake something or do something that succeeds something else, because you always worry about how good of a job they're going to do. And if they're going to do what you said, they're just going to try to feed you stuff rather than, you know, the thing that made the original thing so good in the first place. But like I said, seeing the trailer and seeing the different things that they've adapted and how they've adapted it and how they choose for it to look important in the trailer and how the trailer had this like thread of its own narrative, from what it showed me, I feel way more confident than I have before, because there is so much that does go on during these time periods. While there are these big, important truths between the more important characters that they're sharing, a lot of times defined by a moment where they finally see each other after a long amount of time, there's all this other stuff going on that, just like in GOT, the original series, serves as the meat, like the actual portions of food for the meal that a lot of us end up taking most of our owns away from and, you know, getting the most enjoyment from, the little stuff. And I think that from what it seems to me, they've really made the little stuff big and important in such a classical Martinistic kind of way. Martinian, I think, is what Lynch calls it, or Leach calls it. A Martinian kind of way. So I don't know. I feel good about that. So that's your one fear, right? You said, yeah. And I think that a lot of people feel that way. I think everyone feels that way. And I think from what I've seen, I don't know Ryan, but from what George says about Ryan, I would trust his judgment on someone he's known so long that he handpicked to do it. Seems to be really lucid and to know. I think that would probably be one of his first fears too. And I think that it's probably something that people on the creative side are constantly pushing back against, not to talk shit about Suits, but I think that they probably are doing a pretty good job of pushing back against it. And maybe the Suits will just get their rocks off in the merchandising or stuff like that.
You know? I hope so.
Maybe they will. I really think that, especially with how the last series ended, that if anything, people are just desperate to get back to being on top, and they might just trust the creatives a little bit more. At least in the earlier stuff, before, unless it becomes super awesome again.
Right.
Then who knows what they'll do. But
well, and I think too, especially when we're talking about the trailer, we're going to need to lean into some of the old themes, and we're going to need to lean into like some of the old things that made the last
Imagine
show
Dragons
good.
Singing over the trailer time. We'll save that for season 4.
But like, so there's that moment in the trailer when Rhaenyra says, "When I'm queen, I will create a new order." And it's like such strong Daenerys vibes. It's like insane. Well, yeah. But so it's like, you know, we're going to highlight the kind of stuff that you really loved before to pull you in. And then, like you're saying, we're going to get into the nitty gritty. One of the things that I'm really, 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 really excited about for House of the Dragon is just the way that the sets look and these different places in King's Landing. They were talking about Driftmark on the Comic-Con panel. I'm really excited for just the settings of a lot of these different places that are seeing a little bit in the trailer and that kind of we're talking about going to. I just feel like there's a lot of really great detail that is being highlighted. And those are the things that really caught my eye a lot in this trailer, was just the attention to that detail in those locations. I felt
You like gasped when the tourney was shown, the maiden pool tourney.
I liked it, you know. It was fun, and I felt it was very fantasy heavy. And
dude, that's one of my notes too.
It really I felt like I was watching a fantasy story, and I know that it is, but the only reason why we're able to do that is because of the success of so many other things, either Game of Thrones itself or other things that came
probably
because of Game of Thrones. I mean, you know, whatever it is.
The Hobbit cartoon.
It brought us to this point. And so the show is high fantasy from the looks of
Dude,
it.
That's what, yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be more, but that's one thing I loved about Thrones. And I know that it's hard for a network like HBO that has such a specific looking polish to do it all the way too. But I thought that they did a pretty good job. I thought they did an amazing job on Game of Thrones. That's why I fell in love with it. That's why we're doing this whole thing. But I really think that Ryan and his team and Miguel and George, I think they might have gotten some more high fantasy out of this than they were able to squeeze out of Game of Thrones before.
Just based
on the look of it.
Based on the look of it.
The framing, even like the way.
That bridge.
And I think that's why they casted Matt Smith, and it makes me so excited because him facing off against Otto Hightower, the way he was pointing
his sword.
It looked like a cover of like an old cover of one of George's books.
Yeah, it did.
You know, like the one where it's got the heraldry, the flags are waving.
you got the pinion, you got the little sigils. It's like in a perfect triangle, and you're like, you guys are just going to kill people, but you got really nice looking flags and mm-hmm. stuff.
And there's a lot of helmet plumes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Plumes, the enameled Targaryen armor.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the Targaryen armor and we've seen the plumes and stuff before, but we haven't seen Matt Smith's thespianish vibe.
Uh-huh.
What's the word? Like invigorate. Yeah, exactly. Hannah's holding her arm out in a hilarious way.
And I'm holding my arm out in the way he does. That's what he does. In that shot.
It's so good. And I that's why we love characters like Darkstar. And that's why we love high fantasy in general, because it's like really serious, but also like a little like Broadway.
It's on the edge of almost being embarrassing. Like, you know what I mean?
It is embarrassing.
But not in a bad
it's
way.
It's like when I wear drip, mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed. You got to just lean into it. Though.
Well, exactly. It's cool when you
are a rapper and rich.
Yeah, and when you go all in. And I really kind of got that energy
me
from
too.
Just like the look and feel of everything.
Me
and
too.
So Me too.
Which
I think
is
that's
so cool.
Part of the reason why I gasped at the tourney moment too is because there was just so many you think about like the early seasons of Game of Thrones and the like kitschiness of some of the fantasy there. This was like a little bit more polish from the trailer. And I guess, like, you know, just all the dragons flying around really adds to that. We had so many cool dragon shots. So many amazing, these, like, overhead views of the scenery from the perspective of a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that part of me is like, man, we're just going to only care about dragons this series. But then the other part of me is like, we're going to care about dragons this series.
Imagine this, if little kid me got to see an adaptation like this, the best that I had was Kevin Costner playing Robin Hood in Robin Hood, mm-hmm. Prince of Thieves, a movie I've watched so many times. Or the third Ninja Turtles movie, when they're in sort of like a feudal Chinese atmosphere. It's like, it's still swords and shields. I'm in.
Right.
This is on a level where when an author like George or any others that have magical creatures in their books, this is on a level where they're not done in a way that's cheesy. And that's so hard to pull off because you have to pay so much money to be able to do that. You just don't even try, you know? Like, show Daenerys sitting by three little dragons, and that's enough for the first three seasons.
Or build two streets and make that the whole thing.
Exactly. Build two streets and the whole sack of King's Landing and keep cutting to that same wall. I get it. But the thought, like, seeing Daemon Targaryen play with his dragon.
Yes.
Was like, that was real and high fantasy, sort of like, have not arm wrestling, but like when you slam your hands together to be like, we're in agreement with each other, like boom, together at the same time. Holy crap.
I'm really looking forward to those relationships being explored because they've talked so much about how these dragons are going to have personalities and we're at the height of the Targaryen rule. And so there is just a lot of history and precedent on how you interact with these creatures. And they're just part of, I think about your dog. That's mm-hmm. just so a part of your day to day. And you're like in sync and in tune and you've got a relationship.
Yeah.
These massive creatures that in Game of Thrones was like a little bit more tempestuous. What's that word I'm thinking of? It's like a little bit more volatile because there was so much that hadn't been done in 100 years. And so there was a lot of things that were just really we're winging it because we're learning things from old books and there's no relationship here.
Yeah.
Now we have an opportunity to kind of jump in the middle and see these creatures as really part of a day to day for so many of these people.
Yeah.
We get to see their personalities. We get to see them bond with each other. We get to see them fight against each other. The role of kind of who the dragons are as characters, I think, are going to stand out in a really interesting and exciting way, in a way that they didn't have quite a chance to, because I felt like, you know, Drogon is cool, but he's Daenerys, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. It's like, not even the Night King with his confidence and posture on the Ice Dragon could have as much, dare I say, swag as what these Targaryens who grew up with dragons being in their family for generations should have whenever they run and jump and easily embark and disembark with their dragons.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it would have been harder to do that back then when
they also knew less about how to do that kind of CGI with their actors.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they had to learn that over time or whatever. Hopefully they hired some of those people or other people that have experience doing similar stuff. But yeah, if it looks like there's any kind of agility and like ease with these big dragons, I mean, the point that I just made is going to be even crazier.
Exactly.
If they can really pull it off.
Yeah.
Dude, this could be such an awesome bar setter for all adaptations like this moving forward, not just fantasy, but, you know, I hate to go back. Sorry, George. I hate to always go back to Harry Potter. It's like, okay. I hate to go back to Harry Potter, but imagine whenever we think about the real adaptations, you know, the ones that would probably have to be done through a television show. But like, even if they fit it in the amount of time as a film or whatever, we always say we want stuff like more scenes. We want more of the actual information, let's just simplify it, of the book to be put into the movie so it's more like the book and better. But I think the one thing we have a hard time describing is that part of what makes it feel more like a book is if it's adapted like the book feels.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
That's
why I love movie 3, Prisoner of Azkaban.
This and they said it right there. This looks like it. It's a little bit closer. It could just be the. I mean, it could have been a really well edited trailer for one, but the heraldry and like you said, the if the dragons are as
nuanced,
if they're smooth, and you got to give them nuance. But if all that is truly adapted in. With the love of someone who like loves reading books and fantasy and is not just like trying to like get through this, holy crap, the bar that it could set could be good for, like I said, stories like Harry Potter, where it's like, you know, maybe we shouldn't just make this seem like a big Christmas movie, you know? We should have beats and it should have, maybe sometimes like we're not using close-ups. And maybe sometimes if it's not a close-up, it doesn't have to be like, an amazing gilded archway that like is referenced later, you know, like with some confidence of the atmosphere, like the way that the Hound and Arya felt traveling together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that waterfall,
right.
But the waterfall was awesome. The way that Iceland felt when we were north of the wall with Jon, season 2, you know, the way that these natural settings actually are for the fake characters in these fake stories, they're actually there. They're not just like, hey, isn't this so cool?
Exactly.
Look at this.
Right.
But like actually being there. And so if they can make the dragons actually there and not, you know, in a corny way where it's like, look at this dragon. He's going to play and this is going to be a ride later.
Right.
But literally show us them just being there. If in it, I don't know, it sort of feels like it. It sort of feels like it, man.
The trailer gave me high hopes for kind of how they interact with each other versus kind of what we saw in Game of Thrones. So I have high hopes for that expectation. And like you said, this all goes well and, you know, this only perpetuates the genre, which is exciting for all of us because for George as well as people who are true fans of
the legacy to leave,
story. It's really exciting. And so there was a lot of detail in this trailer. And if you want a minute by minute breakdown, there's a lot of really good ones out there online, but we were just given an abundance of detail, everything from like Viserys bleeding on the Iron Throne to just the swords and the jewelry and the posturing of how people were seated and the like we were just saying, Matt Smith's little arm hold.
What
and
a promise, man.
These, I just...
used to seeing him hold a screwdriver.
Yeah, true. detail gave me a lot of confidence in the, just kind of the whole world building that we're going to see. One thing that I have a question about from watching the trailer, that to me wasn't clear from the trailer and isn't clear from any of the conversations that we've had or any of the information we have, is how the timeline is going to go.
Mm.
Because in the trailer, we jump around a lot between the ages and the characters.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily feel like a straight line. And kind of when we were watching the trailer the last time before we sat down to record, I was kind of thinking to myself, if you don't already know who these guys are, then how do you know these are all the same guys? How do we know that they're the same characters from the trailer? And I know that I was just saying earlier, I want to discover things and uncover things. I don't want to be told what we're supposed to like and dislike. And so I don't want to be told who these people
Imagine
are in
that
these trailers.
In the trailer, it was like, you're much older now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's not the point I'm trying to make, but
you're a woman grown. Now you're a woman grown.
It just made me curious about how that is going to be handled on the screen. And I I know that they have talked about how that was something that they wrestled with and they thought a lot about. And, you know, George talked to us about the different narrators and how you kind of come together and bring this multi-layered, multi-generational story into one cohesive through line. And so I'm super interested to see how they handle that and how they... Because the trailer was all over the place in a way that I thought was fun, in a way that
also bold, huh?
That was bold,
like, and then, super bold,
and that gave us all these things that
doesn't
we really
just, like show all young Rhaenyra, and right. then we're like surprised, we're like, oh my god, we got older now. Mm-hmm. We're like, we jumped. No, right. Just show it at all, show everything,
all interswept and yeah. chaotically kind of put together. And yeah. again,
pretty cool.
It was great, but
it was pretty cool. Yeah,
you know, I can't wait to see how that plays out episode to episode. Is it going to be a little bit more chaotic? Jumping between conversations and scenes and people and time and all that kind of thing, or are we going to get more of a through line? It's hard to tell.
Do you remember off the podcast, GRM talking about The Witcher?
Yes.
So I don't think it's going to be confusing.
No, I don't think it's going to be confusing.
That The Witcher was confusing, mm-hmm. and that stuck out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And apparently it wasn't just me at that time when I watched it. I was like, wait a second, we're back here? You haven't seen it yet, but it does sort of very confidently do some serious time stuff. Like, just what? They'll sometimes go back to the same exact set and people will be sitting in the same place. So it can be very confusing. And so... I think that just from a general awareness of trying to make things not bad, that people are going to be trying to do better. But also, based on that, I think it's going to be something that specifically they're going to be thinking about, trying to make really make sense to people.
It sounds like they are.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of that we're going to get all these different perspectives and we're going to get all of these conversations that we haven't had and that we didn't see in the book. And we're going to get all of these internal dialogues and all of these looks and all of these struggles and excited moments in a really human way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking a lot about, because George talked a lot about, and I think we already talked about on the podcast today, King Viserys, like Paddy Constantine's bringing to life of Viserys and how he became this human guy.
Yeah.
And how he would try to like put real emotion and humanity into him. And I know he's not the only one who did that. You know, I think he's kind of the standout as we go into the show. But I just think that the trailer did a really good job of highlighting personality. Even if we don't quite know who these people are yet, I felt like there was a lot of personality that feels like ripe for the understanding, if that makes sense.
That's a good point. They could have just made it feel really tempole-y. But they really didn't. And, you know, I think that that's what we like about books.
Exactly.
And good adaptations, like more Harry Potter. We always say, like, there's not enough of them just going to the library and studying.
Right.
You know? You know, there's not enough of them just hanging out in the common room.
But we like that.
That's part of, but in those moments is where, that's how the story really progresses further. That's where that stuff is revealed. And so I'm seeing this trailer and I'm seeing, you know, it really looks like Daemon and Corlys' relationship is going to be something that we really like and that we see grow over time. It started out maybe weird and then get like way better. And also with Aemond and Kristen Cole.
Or Rhaenyra and Kristen Cole.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like these things in the side, you know, with when the conflict in the Stepstones, look, to me, it feels like it's going to be like a Whispering Wood from GOT or the Battle of the Green Fork, where you've got like Tywin or you've got like the Karstarks talking to Rob. You know, like you've got these what seem really important side stories that end up, they're just on the way for the people that really matter to meet each other. And so the opposite of that would literally be Fire and Blood.
Right.
Because Fire and Blood literally did skip. So we're getting the opposite of an adaptation. We got the TV show version in the book already. And so now we're getting like the book version done. So we're going to go into the Stepstones and we're going to like Daemon, and then we're going to see aspects of Daemon and the way that he treats those people there, because they're others and because they're just literally him biding his time, wasting his time until he goes back and gets into his brother's favor again. Some really dank and bad shit that's going to put us in conflict. And those people in King's Landing are going to think, and Otto and all those people are going to be like, he's bad, but they're not even going to know how bad he is compared to what we know.
maybe I'm wrong about that, but these possibilities are what we're going to get fed to us. That's what all that side stuff will be, the scheming with Kristen and Amond, and really just the scheming with the Greens overall is something that you don't get really any out of, not a lot out of.
The backhaul conversations. We just know that it happens because,
and we have suspicions and we know why people want power, but there's all the other people around them that help them achieve that in their own means and goals. And like, we're going to see their little faces and know what they're actually trying to get. And yeah, it definitely looks like the angle of romance with Kristen Cole and Rhaenyra is going to be obviously a big focus. And it didn't really shed a lot of light on it with the Daemon situation either in the trailer, which is interesting. And I'm sure, obviously, that's going to be adapted. But that'll be an even bigger reveal, I think, for folks. And even like you thought, like just brother and sister hooking up with each other was something. How about a really hot niece? Like a really hot niece. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just ripe for the picking. She's just outside reading her little book. Her feet are up and her uncle walks through. And he's like, hey, what are you reading? That is going to make people go, oh, shit. I thought she wanted the Tanner Jon Snow. Fuck. And so, yeah, that's going to be interesting. And so, yeah, it looks like they're focusing a lot on that Kristen and Rhaenyra romance.
Which is going
to
make...
In a way that's satisfying. Totally. And we get to know the truth in some way about what happened there.
Because as that story progresses, it's going to, I feel like, even be even more dramatic. You know, think about them kind of near the end of, like, once things start to get bad, like, their looks at each other across the... it's going to be really intense.
Oh, for sure. It's like we're coming to the point where she wants him to fucking die.
Yeah.
And at the point where he reveals how much of not a man he is, to where he actually, spoiler everybody, to where he's like, you know what? I'm going to scheme against the person I was like sitting in these rooms with and like being so intimate with. We were sharing candlelight and firelight and talking about the future. And now all of a sudden I'm a Queen's man and I'm a fighter and I'm this like, what? But he does beat Daemon in some fighting. So
he does.
And so we'll see how that turns up. It's so delicious how it all courses together. And like I said, we're getting like the opposite of the book because the book was the TV show. The book was the bad Warner Brothers movie. And
but the book was good.
Well, you know what I mean?
It was the high level 101.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not in all cases, but it was the high level.
Yeah.
And now we get to go in and see the stepstones and see these conversations and see them horse riding outside of King's Landing and get to see how much Targaryen stuff and dragon stuff is really in King's Landing.
Right.
It's really exciting.
Well, and it's exciting when we watch the trailer too, because I think back to watching Game of Thrones trailers, especially in the last couple of seasons, and it's like, I know what this is, I know what this is, I know what this is, I know exactly.
Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, but when I watch this trailer.
I just realized that Imagine Dragons has the word dragons in it.
Yeah.
They weren't just like the style of music they played over those trailers.
Right.
Now that's hilarious. Also, if someone tells you to Imagine Dragons, just say no. You don't have to listen to them. All right? If someone's band name is a request, if it's an order, you know, Imagine Dragons, just tell them no, all right? Keep that rebellious spirit alive. Sorry, what were you saying? This is so presumptuous.
I can't really remember what I was saying.
What if our podcast was called Send Us Your Owns?
It should be. It's a demand and not a request.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot from this trailer that it takes you a minute to kind of think about, okay, who is this and where is this and what might this be? Because we just don't have the same kind of like definitive. I'm just highlighting what you've been saying, which I totally agree with and I think is.
But what did you think about that Comic-Con panel?
The thing about the Comic-Con panel is what I was thinking about when we started the podcast off, and I was thinking about my fears of this show. And Comic-Con panels, I'm not the target audience for that.
Okay.
Never really been kind of in on those conversations personally. I feel like we're supposed to be like really amped up and bought into these actors and characters that we don't really know anything about. And so I feel when I'm watching a panel like that, personally annoyed about the fact that I'm supposed to be excited about these people. It's like, I don't know you, nor do I know what you've done with this
but
show
that's
yet.
Our boy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, everyone's in the crowd is like cheering for people and their characters and things they said. It's like, we don't know who that is yet. Because we, you know, it's exactly like we've been saying. We are have the opportunity now to finally like really dive into these guys' personalities. And so I don't want to be force-fed what I'm supposed to be thinking. Like, I don't remember who said it on the Comic-Con panel, but they were like, the greens and the blacks, like, which side? Like, we don't want to start a riot in here. Like, we don't want it to be crazy because everyone's fighting. It's like, no one is fighting. Like, we don't know
what side
we're on.
That's what George and Ryan Condal said. But they also let some slip a little bit. They said next year we can split between the greens and the blacks. They said something like that.
Right.
So I think that's pretty indicative. I think maybe we've seen, like, all the way up through episode 8 footage, basically, in this trailer or something
probably.
Like that. Or, like, episode 7 or something. That there's going to be, you know, more, obviously, Viserys and blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, I think that we kind of have a cutoff point. And so it'll kind of end at, like, the arc, probably, of, like, Aemon and Kristen and the Valyrian scheming, you know? It'll be like, drama. And then, like, we'll pick up on the leftovers of where they like got all of their concurrent schemings up to.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So
they're going to show them as little kids too, like Aemon, for example, which will be, and then he's like, I'm trying to look like my uncle. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we will have, and we will have strong feelings about that after we see the first season.
It's just like trying to be something it was before, maybe.
That's what annoys me, is that we're trying to bring on and live off of the old hype. Because as we should, like, Game of Thrones is a big TV show, but I don't need a blanket that says, like, dragons forever, you know? Like,
wait, what the dragons did? The dragons did that?
Yeah, there was some, HBO put out some blanket that is literally the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Wait, I gotta pull it up.
Hannah's true colors are coming out. I love it.
You all know that I'm psyched out of my mind about House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
In a way that I never thought I was going to be. But that means that I can also make fun of this blanket. It's a blanket that says, oh, it's from the first trailer or the teaser trailer. It says, dreams didn't make us kings, dragons did. And it's like,
that's the blanket says that?
Yeah, the blanket says that.
Oh, I just thought it said the dragons did that.
Well, basically, that's basically what it says. Because it really says, it says dragons did in really big letters. We tweeted this out like at the beginning of June. So if you wanted to scroll back through our Twitter, you know, it is what it is. But
oh, nice.
It's hard. Like, I'm
here for it.
I'm here for it too.
I'm here for it. But, I love it. I want fun. I'll take like if someone doesn't know how to dance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll still dance with you, or I'll still dance around you, you know?
Totally.
You can be as silly as you want. I'm just want it to happen. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but not when you're sober.
Right.
Or if you're like a certain kind of not sober, certain other kinds, it's like way more like, oh God, I'm seeing too deep into things. But for the most part, it's just like, yeah, bring it on. But I definitely notice all those things too.
All I'm saying
is,
I just
want us all to come together and have fun for this to be good.
And I'm here. I'm on board. I'm on board.
Well, I know you are. We just sitting in your closet recording this podcast for an hour.
We're all on board.
To Santa Fe. I know you're. Yeah,
I want it to reach the potential that it has in my mind. And so, you know, I think that there's going to be reservations along the way.
I think it looks good.
It looks really good.
Looks
and maybe
good.
I'm just trying to, like, you know, psych myself a little bit. You said this.
I think it's gonna
you
be,
keep saying what? This. Say it.
I think it's going to be better than Game of Thrones.
Earlier today, I
think it's going to be better.
I go through these phases where I get really depressed about House of the Dragon. I'm like scared that it's going to suck. And you always say it's going to be better than Game of Thrones.
I really think that.
You really genuinely think that.
I genuinely think it's going to be better than Game of Thrones. I genuinely think that the people that are involved with it are that they're smart enough from the beginning to get the right kind of grip and the right kind of places. They've been through this before. They know what they know. They've been through this before. And I like the actors that they've chosen. And I think that based off the trailer and based off things people have been saying, that we're going to get more of the deep stuff from the mystery from Aswath and from Fire and Blood.
Dragonglass?
I think we're gonna get not just Dragonglass, but you know, like that's like the first thing, and then it's like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Is
right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like,
and then
yeah.
the rest of it is underneath yeah. it. Yeah. I think that the mystery is gonna be is going to be imbued in this. And I think that what else do I think? I think that
the quality of it and the high fantasy elements, the pacing, and just the warmth that you feel that we felt from like going from castle to scenery to tent to horses to this guy's got curly hair and a mustache and these people are playing musical instruments and now a little kid's talking, like the mix that made Game of Thrones so satisfying. I think they're going to do even better at it. I think it's going to look better. I think it's going to be more patient, more like high fantasy. And to get back to the mystery being imbued in it point, that's going to make me so excited because that's the stuff that I like. And it's not going to be just about White Walkers in the end or how do we deal with the problem of summing up the White Walkers? How do we deal with the problem of summing these things up? I think instead of that, it's going to be revealing to us these little things that are going to be not obvious to everyone, but are going to be really satisfying whenever everyone starts to learn about it, like the early Shadow Baby kind of stuff. I think that those might have been glass candles on the table in front of King Viserys and the Ilk, judging by what it was and the little burn on it. I could be completely wrong. Someone might have an answer for what it actually is, but it's not the only point. But if those are glass candles, Jesus Christ. But they had a bunch of them, though. They had like 5 or 6, so I don't think that they could be. But if they do have that many, my sort of suspicion that because it's further back in history, it's closer to the Doom, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, right up against the 100 years since the Conquest, that things like magic and soothsaying are so much more prevalent. They're so much more accepted. They're believed. They're basically policy.
Right.
At some points,
it's like religion. You know,
it's
almost,
like religion, yeah. But it's like this. It's like on the same level almost. You know, or like religion is rather like way more like real to them than what it is at the current point in A Song of Ice and Fire series. What's so funny?
I say, like, you're trying to describe something really real, and I'm like religion. at me. My own personal views.
That's great. That's great.
Funny. Sorry. Keep going.
I just think that there's potential for them to be interested in where they came from and to talk about where they came from, how they came from it. They've got a whole bunch of dragons. They know there is a big difference between them and other people, at least with what they've gained for themselves or what their families has gained for them. Corlys Velaryon in his 9 voyages, I think that he's going to have stuff to talk about. I think he's going to talk about.
He's one of the characters I'm most excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. And what he has to say.
Because he's been so many places.
How he got that wealth.
Well, and we get like these very...
Where he got it.
Exactly. We're going to get like a first person POV of all of these.
Yeah.
This deep lore, which I'm really excited about his backstory.
I'm just hoping that like Viserys has this... he's like trying to figure out magical shit in the background.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's going to be a thing, but...
These guys need every advantage that they're going to get.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying,
and
yeah.
So what kind of conversations are going to be had about the big guns that they can pull out against each other? Because, you know, they've...
What did it... Go on, sorry.
Well, we also see...
I just thought about Aegon, so I'm like, I can interrupt anyone.
Well, I just think about like trying to find more dragon riders and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Things
mm-hmm.
like, you know... other conversations that are had in Fire and Blood, mm-hmm. and trying to get people, like, how does this work? You know, is they're
yeah,
trying
exactly.
to figure
how
out,
does this work?
They're
yes.
trying to figure that out for themselves
exactly.
by using other people who aren't Targaryens and dragon seed people mm-hmm. and things like that. And so that's just the surface of what they're trying to understand about who they are and where they're from.
Yeah. When the dance is going on, when there's way more conflict, we can sort of like throw the small things out of the window, but we're coming off the tail end of the old king, and for what it's worth, Viserys has a pretty long reign in comparison with a lot of Targaryen kings. So we've got like a lot of sort of peace and a lot of time to sort of get into those details and to try to figure stuff out.
Well, especially because the TV show is going to start with Jaehaerys.
Yep.
So, you know, man, I hope there's more than... Imagine if it doesn't get renewed for another season, because it hasn't yet.
Oh yeah, it was gonna get renewed.
I know, but like, you know what I mean.
They want the press drama release. Yeah,
I know. Whatever, but
remember one time Game of Thrones got renewed for 3 seasons or something like that, two or three at once. I was like,
yeah.
The dragons did that. Yeah. What else do I got? Oh, Kristen Cole, my phone keeps getting corrected to Christini.
Mm,
so
ooh,
that's
nice.
Your new name for this podcast. I think it's going to feel really sort of like sweepy, transitional for the first handful of episodes based off the trailer.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about like the timeline mm-hmm. and how that's going to play out, and how seamless is that going to be, and is that going to be engaging, or is that going to bring on Witcher vibes like you guys were talking about?
Yeah, I don't think, like I said, I don't think that they're going to do The Witcher bad based on other conversations. I like that we're going to see, literally going to see Daemon roasting the men of the Triarchs of Volantis. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So we're bringing in more elements of the story in a way that, like I said, we haven't ever seen that before. And you know it's not going to just be like a cut to it. Like, we're going to be there.
Because there was so much of that in the trailer.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I mentioned like Whispering Wood with Rob and Greenfork with like Jaime, Tyrion, and Tywin. You know, it's like we have these things that are happening that go, when people think about Game of Thrones, I think they only see the colors of those places in their brains. I don't think that they remember like how it was important to them at that time. Like the War of the Five Kings, the different levels of positioning that the Men of the North were doing against like basically a Lannister-led army. You know, we don't really, 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 really think about that stuff. And I know people that love these books, for example, and, you know, Clash and Storm and Feast kind of like blend together on the way to doing stuff.
Right.
And so we're going to have those things that needed to be fleshed out. And I know that this is really obvious, but I still haven't seen it done well yet. And if they do it well, then, like I said, we get the book adaptation, basically, of the high level that we got. And that's where they're doing it. And places in Westeros we really haven't been before, with characters we don't really know, like the Valyrians, you know, with Corlys is a historical character in A Song of Ice and Fire who has those places, has that experience inside of his brain. And he's going to be not just someone that we brush up against or that is talked about in a book somewhere, but who's helping out one of our characters who's going to be basically doing weird shit to try mm-hmm. to get the throne.
Yep.
And have sex with a young girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, what's better than that? That mix of things? Yeah, come on.
Exactly.
You got a historical character and a guy being a creep? Mm-hmm. I mean, get out of here, dudes. I don't know. I hope that those things are glass candles, though. And he's like, we don't know what this does, or we know how to use this. I know that doesn't make any sense, but that could be a thing. And Christini, you know, he's very handsome.
He is very handsome.
We're going to have a lot of cool tweets and a lot of GIFs, cool images and GIFs, yeah. I want to say something about something that GRM said on our show. He said that about a month and a half ago or something like that, he'd had an idea come to him about a character's end. And he said this would obviously be in A Dream of Spring. And he said that it was appropriate and something else and powerful. And if you haven't listened to it yet, the whole episode is worth listening to just for that, to hear the closest scratch against the furthest that we have in A Song of Ice and Fire. That's from the font that all of it literally comes from. And that's a fresh thing that has just happened. And now in my brain, there's this sort of framework that extends all the way to A Dream of Spring now, not just sample chapters or possibility of what's in T-WoW, obviously excluding the show's timeline of history. That extends all the way to some character's ending. Is it Arya? You know? Is it Cersei? Is it Jon?
Sansa.
Is it Tyrion? Who?
Sansa.
I don't know, but the framework goes that far, and this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of all that and this right now, and he's a really nice and generous and cool person to have reached out and to come on our podcast, and I'm just really excited about getting to that point in A Dream of Spring. And seeing the rest of the stuff, you know, like seeing it really unfold, seeing this art and the way that it's affecting so many people and being expressed in such a public and multi-layered, multifaceted, multi-artistical way to be finished. Super exciting. When we have days, like when you wake up in the morning, you have life. We have stuff we have to do to provide for ourselves, to stay alive. And then you have other stuff that you need to do so you don't get sad or go crazy or get bored. And this is a pretty damn interesting one. I just mm-hmm. watched a bunch of footage
of people hanging out at a fake castle, playing with dragon eggs, being in character, talking about things like food and bravery and fear for no reason, just out of place. I mean, it was Comic-Con, but having more stuff to do and having stuff to talk about between all of us that we relate to in different ways and that we can discuss, hopefully in a really positive and nice way, is super awesome. It could be, what are we going to eat today? What are we going to watch tonight? A lot of people say stuff like that, but we have that plus this. So high five. I'm really glad that we got more of it. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's just going to imbue everyone with a little bit of energy. I know that you're not going to make the money from it, folks. We're not going to make the money from it, but we're going to get some benefit from it. So right on.
Any of us who said Game of Thrones is over at the end of the last season of Game of Thrones, look at us now. I agree with you. This is the most excited I've been about A Song of Ice and Fire as a whole in
really
quite some time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm right there with you.
Thanks to George for not going on Twitter and ruining it for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for real. Way to keep the dream alive.
I don't know. I trust him more than I trust J.K. Rowling, to be honest with you.
Yep. 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 Yeah, buddy. So
should we get to our owns?
Yeah, let's do... owns the trailer.
Owns the trailer.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You can go first.
I have two owns for the trailer. And the first own I have is the view that we get of the dragon pit. A, because it looks cool, and B, because it looks cool. I loved the shot that we got of the dragon pit. And we've just spent a lot of time thinking about the building of that thing in the last couple of chapters of Fire and Blood. So that just really stood out to me in the trailer. So I loved that. And then on to another moment that I already talked about, but I love, love, love the shot of Viserys bleeding on the Iron Throne. And, you know, that's like these moments that can be directly pulled from the text is really cool to see them come to life. And so I that really stood out to me. I loved seeing that come to life on the screen. So
that's cool.
Those are my owns.
That's cool. Yeah, the hand on the throne is a good sign. It's just a good sign. It's like, oh, you get me a little bit.
The little details of what, you know, because Fire and Blood talks so much about kind of what the literal Iron Throne does to these people. And so, and we talk about Viserys bleeding on the throne, you know, and so to get to see it in the trailer was very exciting to me.
It's going to be crazy to see. Now, I don't want to spoil anything. Read Fire. Well, no, I want to say it. It's going to be crazy to see Rhaenyra bleeding on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
She's fucking good.
That's what I'm saying.
Really bleeds on that thing.
Yeah. So what's to come? Yeah, very exciting.
I'm going to give my own the trailer to Matt Smith's pointing the sword moment. And to the way the painted table looked also.
Yes.
That's a really good sign that also. Is,
okay, I'm right there with you. When we're talking about like, oh, this looks high fantasy, I was thinking a lot about the table with all of them sitting around with the candles and the low lights and like the dark, it just was very, it felt very medieval, you know?
Yeah. It was like that without being too rustic. It was like that and fancy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because they are fancy.
Exactly. It didn't feel bleak.
Right, yeah. And it wasn't like, I don't want to talk bad about anything else by making it good. So I'm just going to say that's what it was. That's what it was, and it felt good, yeah. And I think that Matt Smith made a lot of people, including me, feel
weird,
like maybe this isn't a good sign or something. Yeah. Like, we need a really famous guy to do it. We don't. I mean, I don't think that we do. I think that a lot of these people are going to become really famous off of this if it's as good as I think it is. And obviously, folks got a lot of career success that weren't mainstream actors in the original series. And so bringing someone in like Matt Smith, who is a very mainstream actor, didn't really seem necessary to me. Kind of seemed like asking for permission almost in a way.
Especially those first pictures we got of him.
But I completely that is completely thrown in the trash. I like when someone does an awesome job or something happens that changes my dumb idea or my even just my good idea, even just an idea. I like having being proven wrong in a situation like that. I just think he's going to like pull the whole thing together, man.
I think so too. Yeah. And I'm, like you've been saying, I'm surprised by that. Hey. Well, I don't know why I'm surprised. I should have been more trusting.
But. A good job is a good job. Yeah. Clearly there's a good job that's happening. Like,
I'm
like
glad we're saying, about it.
Just, this is all just based on the trailer, though. This whole shit could crash and burn. We don't know.
Like I said, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I think to myself, House of the Dragon is a joke. Now we're on to your owns. We got some really good owns that maybe LOL on both Instagram and Twitter. But I'm going to start first with Instagram. From, this was my favorite one. I'm reading it first. From Amanda Berglund, who just says, the lighting department, period. That made me laugh because it's so true. I mean, that's exactly what we've been saying. And so own to how everything looks from Amanda. So thanks, Amanda.
From DLogsy13, own to the sea snakes, old ass, still getting it on the battlefield. And of course, to Sir Kristen's flow. Christini does have a flow to him. I think he means his hair, not just his sword.
Yeah, event. Maybe.
Yeah, but both I think were good. Thanks, Logsy.
We've got Ashayatara, who says, Amond for looking like the goth he is.
He does look very goth. Charlie Gibby, Rainey's looks amazing. Her little whisper to Allison gave me goosebumps. Also, dragons.
In all caps.
In caps.
The donut says, own to the throne for chopping up my man Viserys' hand. Yikes. Ouch.
Mersion Art. Melee's or Caraxes, whatever, I'm stoked.
Curtis Moore Official says, my own goes to the absolute heat that had me headbanging throughout the soundtrack.
Great. Thanks, Curtis. Curtis is another one of the folks who've been doing owns with us for like a million years. We've been doing this for a million years. Okay. Moving on to Twitter. From Shane Lisa, my own is Daemon walking up to the throne and Sir Harold Westerling putting his sword to his chest. And Daemon is like, seriously, bro? I think Van Smith was great in that moment, too.
I know.
He was just like, what? Are you for real?
Travis Cole at Straight Savage Cole says, hopefully I'm not too late. LOL, I was on vacation when the trailer dropped. Same, actually, kind of. My own goes to the scene that reminded me of the Bells episode from season 8 of Game of Thrones. The dragon flying over King's Landing. Mm.
Bran's vision.
Also an honorary own to the Iron Throne. I get chills and a chubby every time I see it in House of the Dragon.
Thanks for the chubby info there, bud. Is that the whole thing? Mm-hmm. Own Connor Targaryen. But before I move on to Connor's tweet, the dragon shadow reminded me of that, the football game
that
from the UK.
That was one of the coolest trailers or commercials I've ever seen.
Yeah, we've retweeted it, I think. I'm pretty sure we did. During like a timeout or a quarter change, whatever it's called, for y'all's sport over there, there was huge dragon shadows flying over the whole field. And then they shot pyro.
That was,
and then they had on the screen like the release date.
It's one of the coolest trailers ever.
So badass.
It's not a trailer, but a commercial I've ever
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, one of the coolest trailers ever.
Right.
When they attack the sport field. Right. Own to the parallel, Connor Targaryen. Own to the parallel between Hot D and Fire and Blood, both depicting Rhaenyra and Alicent at the wedding feast. So excited. Yeah, it's them sitting. You see the illustration.
Yeah, the shot
Doug
of
Wheatley
them
did.
Sitting. Yeah.
So excited for this show and just as excited to hear you guys talk about it. That's them sitting apart. And the trailer does a good job, like you said, with the blocking of showing them sitting close together when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see the friendship change over time. And then sitting further together when they don't like each other as much.
Drama. At Philip the Junior says, own to the editors of the trailer for not showing Mushroom.
Or that's a disown, actually. Yeah. At Clint wrote this, own to Prince Daemon Targaryen, Prince of the City, Lord of Fleabottom, and King of the Stepstones in the Narrow Sea, who is about to get the live-action characterization that we all deserve. And he's got a picture of Daemon with his helm, and he's jousting.
At Mike McCann 55, own to the music and sound production team, knocking out of the park yet again. The music got me so hyped, and the dragon noises, the roar, the low, almost croaky growl, literal chills.
Sexual jazz, at Ghost Chase Killa, own to the bloodworm. I mean, come on. Wow.
Darren Sword says, own to Rhaenys, the queen that never was, for being an absolute bamf. She will be our mom during this troubling time. Darren also says, my own goes to the goodest boy of House of the Dragon, Caraxes, and my own to Alicent for having the nerve to go after a crowned princess.
Agree and all that. Zach Sweet says, own goes to anything with Daemon Targaryen.
LOL.
Very self-aware there, bud. And our last own from Eliza Bennett. My own goes to special effects team, who must have worked double time for all the badass dragons we see on the trailer. Yep. My vacation house got paid with that dragon, he says. Right? He watched the trailer.
Man, we are, I'm so, one thing I'm really excited about this season too is getting everybody's owns, because that is one of the most fun things that we get to do together.
I've seen a lot of people make friends through liking each other's owns too, mm-hmm. over the course of the last million years. And if you're listening and you haven't done that yet, you should, and you're interested at all, like if you want to stay off Twitter or social media, I totally understand. But if you just hop on for this, it's a really just useful tool that allows us the mechanic of submitting stuff to the podcast easily. If you email it to us, that's fine too. You don't have a character limit and, you know, you don't have to have a social media account, but other people really won't be able to interact with it. And so if it's something that you're interested in, normally I think that that's kind of weird if you're like needy like that, but this, Hannah's just laughing at me. But I think this is a good and positive way to interact with other people, because it's just, you're just talking about something that you really like. And so you can join us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram at Game of Owns. Just Game of Owns is the username. You can email us contact@gameofowns.com. And what else we got? OnlyFans.
We're going to keep, we got OnlyFans. We've got
Feet Picks.
Lost FM. We've got, what are some of those like old ask places that people used to post about?
Ask places.
Remember when we were in college, there was this app that people would ask you questions on, but like everybody used it to bully each other. I can't remember. We have that too. We. Sorry.
That's what I was trying to say about the Twitter stuff, but you nailed it for me in a different way.
But the podcast rolls on. We've got a couple weeks before House of the Dragon comes out. And in the meantime, we're going to still...
Fire and Blood, baby!
Brick by brick, get through Fire and Blood.
Team Optic.
The next chapter is The Long Reign. Jaehaerys and Alison, Policy, Progeny, Pain.
It's a long chapter.
It's a very long chapter, which has scared us in the past. But if you want to read that, get caught up. That's what our next episode is going to be about. And we are in House of the Dragon season. So
oh my God, it's so deep in the season.
Let's go.
I forgot to say earlier, a blanket thank you, and also individual, because we've looked at them too, to all of you who said such really nice stuff about that podcast with George. It was the most feedback we've ever gotten in such an like overwhelmingly nice way. And not patting ourselves on the back. Seriously, thank you for listening and giving a shit about this kind of stuff. That was really important.
We are so glad that people liked it. We just got to sit in the room while George talked. Yeah. And so I'm glad that everybody
was
so kind.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah,
Fire
we'll be
and
back.
Blood.
I got two sodas in front of me. There's a third one that's about to happen. our next episode's coming out pretty soon. We're about to start working on it right now. So have fun. Bye.
Bye.